Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Realty Universal Radio. I'm Randy Zachary, Natalie Olenek, President and Founder of Realty Universal, joining us in just a moment. And we want to, again, welcome you to our broadcast, our second broadcast, and we're excited. We really, really are. Realty Universal Radio is a program about real estate, of course, but also about the universe, about life, about us giving back, working together, being the change on this planet. And it all involves and incorporates around, of course, the business world and what's going on there and Realty Universal. There is so much to the concept of Realty Universal. And each week we will kind of reset for you what we're talking about as we continue to talk about Realty Universal and the wide range of services and options available to you in this program. And again, Natalie Mullenix, president and founder, averages over $80 million a year in sales. She's been licensed since 1985 and the founder of Realty Universal. And it's founded on a really kind of a simple concept. Realty Universal is a revolution, and we believe basically that buyers and sellers should have choices. And Natalie has created, after years and years, of course, in the industry, a real estate menu system that is literally changing the way real estate is done. And I believe Natalie is on the line. Hey there.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
You know,
how are you doing today?
Well, now you are on the East Coast. Last time we talked, you were in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm in Hawaii. I'm on the East Coast right now, and I want to do the show. My baby brother just passed away, 15 months younger than me, 2 weeks ago, and I immediately flew right back to Maryland. And as you know, we canceled a couple shows, and I need to go on and do it, and I know he would want me to. So that's what we're doing, and especially as much as we believe in God and spirituality, you know, I know I need to do this, so we're going to move forward. And I really saw how, you know, so many people, say if they're in, say they're acting or show business or whatever plays, I mean, and, or the show must go on, and I wonder how they handle it, you know, when you just
yeah.
can't say, sorry, I got to cancel everything. And it's really, it's incredible. So I wanted to mention on the $80 million a year in sales, I was doing always $80 million a year in sales, and we've been pulling back so that I can put my focuses on building Realty Universal. So it's very doable and easy to do, but my focuses are pushing on this more as a leader to get it going, you know. So it's thank you for being so wonderful, Randy, and you're such a fantastic support. And with today's show, what we were going over for to you today is 7 tips on selling your home. The 7 tips are going to include marketing, pricing, features, financing, negotiating contracts, and settlement and closing. We'd only have typically our shows 30 minutes. The first half is for Realty Universal, and the second half is self-help, more about something about our community and how we can give back. And I'll tell you, you know, what our theme and focus and what we're all about, you know, for me to just lose my one brother in a tragic motorcycle accident you know, and we're very tight. I spoke to him 4 hours before he died. It just really brings this home about the spirituality, because if I didn't believe in spirituality, I wouldn't be able to even do the show today. You know, it's and I see, you know, you see people dying all around you, and I know a lot of people that have died and acquaintances and et cetera. But when somebody's so close to you that way, it really gives you the empathy and fortitude to see how. What must happen. And the weirdest thing is it feels like, oh my God, the world just keeps going on. It just keeps going. Like, you feel like you want everything to stop. You know, how can it keep going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you start realizing it does keep going, and we have to have our faith. And so, you know, it's it's weird for something like this to happen right after we're pushing forward, you know, but it's that's what we're doing.
Well,
and here we go. We'll go over, I'll turn it over to you a second, Randy, and you tell me, we'll go over tips for sellers, because a lot of sellers are having tough times in these markets these days.
Before we dive in to the seven tips, and I know that it's going to be a lot of content, got a lot of quality content, and want to encourage you to maybe, if you're listening, to take notes. I want to encourage you, Natalie, and commend you on even doing the show today, because I know how devastating, you know, this loss has been to you, and at some point, as we talked about this morning off air, you've got to decide, you know, when to kind of get back up. The grieving thing will continue, but like you said, I think your brother would absolutely want you to carry on and continue spreading the word about this passion of yours called Realty Universal. So, and I want to encourage you, we haven't even begun promoting this show, like with Facebook and Twitter and all that yet, and we had 65 listens our first show.
That's great.
That's awesome. I just was really encouraged
and
by that.
And we didn't. We were going to promote and everything, and then I stopped everything for 2 weeks. Yeah, so that's really awesome.
Well, I'm excited. Why don't you, this first segment, about 7 to 10 minutes, why don't we dive in?
Okay, great. Right now, of course, as everybody knows here in the U.S., and of course our show can be listened to in many other areas too, of course, in English, with the economies and everything, sellers are really, many, many sellers are upside down. Not all. I mean, you do have areas where things are still moving, but overall, sellers are upside down. You're seeing short sales and different situations that are going on. So we want to give 7 tips. On selling your home, kind of tips on what to do and not to do, because what happens when you're selling your own home, you tend to get too close to it, you know, way too involved to be able to step back and look at it from another perspective. So, if you can take notes or you can listen to the show later, you know, and also with our menu programs and menu systems we offer, which we have affiliates in all 50 states, when you're a seller, you have the option, if you'd like, to, if you want to get involved and have the time, you can actually pay a fee and get into the MLS and many, many, many internet sites. You get phenomenal coverage for a small fee, and then you can pretty much be the boss and handle it from beginning to end. If you want us to, or one of our affiliates, to get in and help you virtually, there's another fee, another amount that could be paid, or at closing settlement, and they can kind of hold your hand, but then you would do the physical part. Of course, we all always have the full service where you just go ahead and pack, and the agent or broker will guide you through the process. So I'm just mentioning that because you have so many things at your fingertips right now, depending on how much you want to get involved. And since so many people need to save money and have that extra equity, it definitely behooves you to look at the different programs that are offered. And important right now, there's certain aspects that whether you're in a short sale, whether you're just selling your home, you know, and everything, you're not desperate, that you want to cover regardless, because you know how the saying is, don't lay all your cards on the table. You have to be very careful. And so we're going to do this segment and go over things because we have very limited time, right? So what we're going to do is do it as if you're selling it yourself so that we can give you the tidbits right away. And then if you are working with an agent or broker and they're doing it all, it'll still assist you on what to ask and not ask. It'll still show you, go over some tidbits about staging and things like that. And so this will cover a little bit of everything. So first off, pricing is going to be very crucial. You want to make sure you price your house properly, because many people price it too high and then it takes too long to sell. So you want to get a market analysis. I wouldn't say that you have to pay for an actual appraisal, which would cost you anywhere from $400 to $600 approximately. You could get a market analysis through agents, brokers for free. Some may just charge you a nominal fee to do that as well. You can also go to Zillow. There's many sites on the websites to go to see get a market analysis. Unfortunately, it isn't a good idea to just use your tax assessment, because depending on where you are, They could be way high, way low. It's just so you really want to go with what your true market value is. And I would advise you to definitely do that through real estate brokerages, so you're getting actual sales that have just happened in your area, and then also through the public records through a brokerage, so that you can see specifically what your neighbor's house sold for. Zillow and the other internet marketing sites are good, but they're not always exact. So pricing is very important because it can save you a lot of headache in the long run. Now, Randy, do you want me to, just because we only have so much time, recap on each, like I just said, a little bit about pricing? Do you want me to go down the list and give you a few items on each one, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, and then when you feel like there's a place where we can take a break, we'll take a little bit of a break and then come back, but yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and, just share a few in each one, yeah.
Okay. Features of your house, like, for example, you're going to do features and stage your house so that you're ready for selling. The way we live in a house and the way we sell it are two different things, and that applies if your house is so spotless to, or if it's not, because remember, people are going to be coming in, and you're going to have everything ready for them to see it, and so your personal items can't be out all over the place. You certainly want them to see things you don't want them to see. You want to put valuables away. Well, you know, and you want to, because to be honest, it's very frustrating. It's annoying, you know, when people are coming in your house. It's just annoying. So you want to do these things so that you can have the least downtime. Now, there's plenty of TV shows now and different things some people watch a lot and say, well, I know exactly how to do this or how not to do this and et cetera, et cetera. But what happens is sometimes, you know, some houses look just like models and the people keep them like a model. But I think the majority of people don't live that way all the time. I mean, you may be saying, well, yes, I do all the time. Well, I've been in and out of many, many houses over my lifetime, and I just don't believe that that's the way it is all the time. You know, you have real lives, and if you're actually enjoying your lives, you can't be worried about every little thing all the time. So, so in that, in the features and staging, you want to make your house look as good as possible. So you want it to, clear out your closets, clear out the clutter. But do it in a way that it's fun and enjoyable for you, though, because some people, I see some people want to get it so perfect that they say, well, I'm not putting my house in the market now yet. It's almost spring market, best time to put your house in the market. And they say, nah, you know, I'm not ready. My husband has to paint this or do this, or we're cleaning this out. We're going to do it in a couple months. Well, that you just hurt yourself, because, you know, it would be better to have it, you know, set up pretty well, but maybe not 100% perfect, and get it out there, you know. So those are things you want to look at. So that's important, and then the curb appeal. Go and walk outside of your house across the street and see if you need to cut any bushes or trim bushes or what you need to do. But people sometimes get in their own way because they're just being, you know, they're too concerned about it. Now, depending on the price ranges, you know, sometimes you can hire someone to help you. It just depends on what you want to do with that.
I was gonna ask you, and there are people that you can hire out to help you stage a house.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, but the biggest thing is to get rid of the clutter. Like, start boxing up and packing things you don't like when you're in your closets. Take out everything you don't use. And if you want to give it away to Goodwill, great. Or box up what you're not going to use, you know. And it's amazing. It's just time to clean house, you know, when you're putting your house on the market. Because people don't want to see all your pictures. Or I've had clients, you know, maybe they collect pigs or they collect cows or they collect, you know, ornaments. And it's better to start putting them away because people want to come in. Well, you know, they want to see what it's going to look like for them, right? So the least amount of clutter, the better. But again, you don't want to take forever to do this. So, and then features, you're going to want to keep a list of features so that you can put together flyers and handouts for your house. And it's not as hard as it sounds. I think it's a good idea to get the children involved, make a game of it, give them treat, you know, say when the house sells, we're going to give you this, you know, bribe them if you have to, right? But you're going to need them to keep their rooms clean and kind of get everybody involved so everybody's happy, because it is not fun with strangers trudging through your house, traipsing through your house to look at your house. So it's really great if you make a game of it and try to, sit down and say, this is what we're going to do, but we need everybody involved. It's not fair if only mom's doing it and everyone else is just, like, you know, doing their usual routine, and every time someone's going to show the house, mom's running around frantic trying to get it together. So you guys all need to pitch in. And then financing is important because you want to find out. You're not going to actually set up the financing for the buyers. You know, a broker agent will help. If they have somebody, they're going to get it. But you want to be aware and kind of know some little bits about the financing so that, for example, does your house, home, condo, whatever, qualify for FHA, VA financing? Does it only qualify for conventional? You know, there's different things that you're going to want to know so that you can put it out there to a larger market. So yeah, that's why it's good. And it doesn't hurt to have printouts on different down payments and amounts so that people can know. It doesn't hurt to get to know a loan officer or have somebody on your side that maybe can qualify people for you if you're doing it yourself. Really important. I mean, it's nothing, no fun to spend so much time with somebody that may be buying your house only to find out they don't qualify. So
yeah,
financing is another issue that's good to cover. Now, I said pricing, features include staging, financing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's three. Marketing is going to be important because if you're doing it with a broker agent, they're going to set up a marketing plan. If you're doing it with yourself, and say you go through the Realty Universal for Sale by Owner program, for example, you're going to have a lot of exposure through the MLS systems and through the internet sites. But you still want to think of additional marketing. Do you live near military bases? Are you near hospitals? Are you near colleges? Who would be attracted to your property? So make sure you get flyers into these people's hands or their offices, or there's some, you know, a lot of military bases have housing offices where you're able to post items. So don't just go with one avenue. Don't just say, well, I'm going to put it in here, it'll sell itself. Cover your bases so that you're doing this quicker and you're getting it done. So marketing is another issue to look at, and you look at the whole picture and see where you're putting it. So do you want to take a quick break and then come back?
Yeah, let's take a break. I just wanted to add, as we wrap this segment up, as I think this through, and I know you're describing this for folks who want to kind of do it themselves as much as possible, but as I listen to you talk about the marketing side of it, in my mind, it really does begin to make you realize the value of, you know, of a realtor and somebody who knows how to market, where to market, because I think the average person, honestly, wouldn't even think of some of the things
I know, and I've been in it for 26 plus years, so I'm just automatically, but right, exactly. And I think that's one benefit that our, you know, Realty Universal Network really offers, because people can get involved, you know, with the brokers on just an as-needed basis too, and also,
yeah,
or, you know, and get these services and still save money. So, it's really, I agree. You definitely...
Again, the real estate menu systems, of course, and folks can find out more about this at realtyuniversal.com. They can go to the website, and of course, it's kind of laid out there, and there's a lot of information. So, again, realtyuniversal.com. Let's take a break, and we will be back in a moment. One of the important things, of course, in thinking about selling, buying, all of that, is your finances. And here's a segment by Dave Ramsey, of course, noted financial expert, talking about your finances.
James Scurlock's remarkable documentary shines the light of truth on a national tragedy. You know, many Americans are drowning in debt, way too many, and something has to be done to stem this tide. I know about this personally. I was a millionaire starting from nothing by age 26, and I was broke again by 30. I crashed. I splatted. I did stupid with zeros on the end, and then I started over, and I was a millionaire again by the time I was 40. That time I did it with no debt because I don't borrow money. I crashed and burned, but I learned. Believe me, I learned. And for almost 15 years now, I have sat at a broadcast desk like this, doing our talk radio show 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, listening to the pain and heartbreak of literally hundreds of thousands of Americans, millions of them listening in while I do that. Sure, I give advice, but first I listen. Never stop listening. Winning at money, personal finance, wealth building is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. If you really want a different result, you've got to get knowledge, yes. But more importantly, you have to change your behavior permanently. When my wife Sharon and I did that, it revolutionized our lives. Personal finance isn't rocket science. It's just common sense. It's how your grandparents lived. If you don't have the money, you can't buy it. Hey, there's a neat idea. And, you know, you can learn how to handle money. You can change your behaviors. You can do it. Where do you start, though? Well, here's some practical ideas that our team members teach all across the nation every day. First, stop the bleeding. You can't get out of a hole while you're digging out the bottom. Cut up your credit cards. That's right. Plastic surgery, a plastectomy. You learn the difference between wants and needs, and for now, you only buy what you really need, and even if you're going to buy a want, you only do it with cash. And start using cash more. We suggest you use a thing called the envelope system, where you put cash in some envelopes for some of your spending categories, and you write on them what the money's for. On your food envelope, you write food, and then you can only buy food out of the food envelope. And you can't buy clothes out of the food envelope. And you can't buy food out of the clothes envelope. No cheating. And when that envelope's empty, I don't care if the shirt's on sale. Shut up. You can't buy it. That's how it works. Then get on a budget. We recommend a zero-based budget. Spend your whole paycheck on paper before the month begins. Give every dollar a name. Every dollar has a predestination. You gotta love it. Hey, if you don't have a job, get one. We recommend a program we call the baby steps, because you can walk all the way around the world if you do it one step at a time, step by step by step. And cleaning up and winning with money is the same way. We have seven baby steps we want to walk you through. Baby step one, start a beginner baby emergency fund of $1,000. Really quickly, I want you to get a $1,000 rainy day fund just to keep the little emergencies from becoming new debt. Number two, set up a plan to get out of debt. We use a thing we call the debt snowball, where you list your debts smallest to largest, pay minimum payments on everything but the little one, and attack the little one with a vengeance. When that one's gone, you take the payments you used to pay there, and you attack the next one down. When that one's gone, you take the payments from one and two, and you attack number three, and you work all of your debts off except your house using the debt snowball. And you do that with real focused intensity, this, I've had it, I'm getting out of debt. Then once you finish baby step two and you're out of debt, everything but the house, you go back to that $1,000 account in baby step three and raise it up to 3 to 6 months of expenses. Once you've done that, then you move on to baby step four, which is 15% of your income into retirement. Five is saving for your kids' college, if that applies to your situation. Six is pay off the house early. You know, we're teaching people this all over America. They're paying off their homes in 7, 8, 9 years. How cool is that? And without a house payment, you move on to the last baby step. Baby step seven is become very wealthy and give a bunch of it away. When it comes to money, ignorance isn't bliss. You need to get in a class. Find one that offers both information and accountability. There are classes taught right now in thousands of locations all across the country. In classes, people learn what they need to know, and they put the knowledge to work, encouraging and supporting each other in the process. Read books about money. You know, I've written several, but there are many other people that have written great books. 5 years from now, Charlie Tremendous Jones says, you'll be the same person you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. Read, 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 read. Turn your car into a learning center. Zig Ziglar says this, we offer help and hope to callers on more than 300 radio stations, including Sirius and XM, 5 days a week. We take this message of personal responsibility, and we do it in live events several times a year with audiences that number tens of thousands of people. You know, I'm just one guy, but there's other people out there doing this stuff. Listen, help's available if you want it badly enough. You'll find it. I can tell you this, very few things are certain in life, but this much I can promise you, the anxiety, the pain, the calls from creditors, the hopeless cycle of debt, it will continue until you change. Yes, the companies are misbehaving, but you know what? It's up to you to fix your life. That personal responsibility element is where you have control. You can rock your world doing this.
All right, Dave Ramsey, man, oh man, he is so inspiring. I love that guy, and recently went to not a webinar, but when you do the internet, I'm sorry, the,
It's a webinar.
It's a webinar
when you're looking at it and you're hearing it. It's like a teleseminar, but it's a webinar. Yeah,
satellite feed
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Saw his Entre Leadership deal, and it was just really, really, really powerful. And all of those things he was just talking about absolutely figure in to the real estate equation. And Natalie Mullenix with us. She's, again, the founder and president of Realty Universal, the website realtyuniversal.com. And, again, she has, over the years, over many, many years in the industry, she has created and perfected a menu system where you can pick and choose. It's like an a la carte, literally a menu of services in real estate, and whether you want to do it all on your own, like we're kind of talking about today, or you want to ask, you know, Realty Universal or one of their affiliates to help you with one, two, or three other things, various ways you can get involved, all the way up to the standard kind of real estate involvement. And for folks who may not have ever, Natalie, been involved with a real estate agent, before we continue with the rest of the tips, when somebody says, okay, I want full service from you, what does that mean and what do they get?
If they say full service, that just means that basically the sellers want us to take over, one of our affiliates to take over and handle everything like a traditional real estate agent or broker would, where the seller's going to be packing, getting ready to move, but the agent's going to do the marketing, the pricing, the features, help with staging, taking care of financing, negotiating contracts, settlements, and closing. So it's going to be total full service. With the other, you know, programs, like a 1% program or a la carte, then there's items that the seller's going to be involved in, kind of like giving them an ability to earn sweat equity on the deal.
Well, one of my favorite TV shows, and I hope they bring it back, and I forget which channel it was on, was Million Dollar Listing last year. And it was about these young, kind of yuppie real estate guys in Malibu, where every property is $10 million, $15 million, and I know you've had properties like that in
right.
Hawaii, and I was impressed with, and help me with this, because I was watching this and wondering if this is true. So if somebody is taking on a full, you're doing the full thing for a client, these guys were actually, that meant they're advertising, so they're spending money out of their own pocket.
Right, right. It costs a lot of money, and then you have to look at that, and that's why the property has to be priced right and everything. But, yeah, there's
okay.
money. A lot of overhead in full service.
Yeah. Wow. And so that's why, again, I think with the advent of the Internet and whatnot, you've come up with these menu systems. And today we're talking about somebody who, says, you know what, I think I can do most of this myself. You're sharing some tips on selling your property. And why don't you continue? We talked last segment about pricing, about marketing, features, I believe. And
okay, we talked about pricing, marketing, features, which includes staging. We talked a little bit about financing, on the other end, why you want to know your house, what type of loans a buyer could get on your house,
what are some other tips?
The other tips we're going to go over briefly are negotiating, contracts, and settlement and closing. Negotiating, again, we don't have that long to dig into everything question, but negotiating is really important because especially if you're the one doing the negotiating with the buyer, that's when it's usually great to let a third party do it because the buyer is going to say, well, what would you take? Or maybe dig in and ask questions that you shouldn't answer yet. So negotiating is important to kind of keep keep things close to your chest and know how to negotiate. Basically, you want to find out if they qualify or not. When they start asking you questions, will you take this or that, you can ask them to put it in writing. There's nothing wrong with verbally negotiating, but if, for example, your house was listed for, $520,000 and the buyer says, would you take $400,000? And many sellers get insulted and say, no, absolutely not. Forget it. I'm not interested in that. Just go away.
Yeah.
But that buyer may be willing to pay $500. They're just checking you out. They're just trying to test. They're testing the waters. They're trying to find out what is. So that's where you want to think about when you're selling how you're going to handle negotiating. So it's best to just stay calm, look at the numbers, talk to them. You don't want to just say the price is definitely negotiable. It's definitely out there. So there's just other tips in negotiating that you have to be careful and be aware of because they're trying to bait you, and it's hard to keep to not be sensitive to that when it's your own house.
Yeah, and I know for me, when we're doing a yard sale and somebody goes, how much you take for this, I feel like I want to give in. I feel like I want to cave in with just a $2 item. And I can imagine with your own house, the temptation when you're face-to-face with somebody is to go and maybe throw something out there. And it's kind of like they say in law enforcement, anything you say can and will be used against you later,
exactly.
Right? And people will use that leverage and come back and really kind of bite you in the rear end by, hey, wait, you said in the blah, blah, blah range, and now you're talking what? You know, and all of a sudden they use that as leverage against you, don't they?
Yeah, or somebody, you know, seems like they're too motivated. They have to sell or else, you know, or if it's a short sale, you know, they're going to, of course, if it's a short sale, they're going to throw out an offer and see if the lender's going to take it. So these types of items come up. So you just want to pull it in. Just sometimes the least said, the better in negotiating. And you can always say, just make me an offer. Some people don't want to waste their time, though, and they don't want to write up offers if you're so far off in price. And that's where you have to kind of keep an open mind, you know, and just not give away the store. But, yeah, don't be turned off. When somebody gives you an offer that is ridiculous, you're going to get that. Just know that that's part of what you're going through right now. They're going to try to press your buttons. They're trying. It's their game, because what if you say, okay, yes, I'll take it. Then they just save themselves $100,000, right? So just really want to think about, you know, put yourself in their shoes and not to take it personally. So that's important. And negotiating, though, also the other thing I'd like to mention about negotiating is it's not always just pricing. Negotiating covers, you're going to be negotiating on when do you want to close and settle. I say close and settle because in some states we call it settling and some states we call it closing, so they're both the same thing. But there's other items. You know, I've had deals where we've thrown in an oriental rug and made the deal work when we didn't think it was going to work because everybody was just complaining about too many things, you know. So, you know, I mean, because a real oriental rug could be worth a lot of money, right? So, you know, a real one versus a – so you don't want to – you want to keep things – you want to keep it open because it's not just, okay, you're going to pay $500,000 or $1 million, whatever the price of the house is, or $200,000 if that's what you want. And everyone's thinking price. It's not just price. It's bottom line. What are you walking away with after you pay the closing costs? What's going to happen? You know, there could be things that somebody just wants to, they don't like your kitchen, or they're going to end up tearing out the kitchen, or they're going to want to paint rooms, or they're going to want to do items that maybe your husband could help with that you don't need a, you know, a license to do or permit. Now, I say that with a caveat because in different states, if you actually start doing work on your house without it, you're not allowed to sell it over a certain period. See, there's different things. Now, when we're giving this show, you know, you have to check everything out because we're giving you general information. So I don't want anyone to call back and go, wait a minute, in this state I can't do this because I can't put on the market if I haven't, you know, permitted everything. But for example, say your kitchen needs updating or something, or maybe you just love this color and somebody else hates it, but your kids could paint that. I mean, not that sounds scary when you say your kids could paint the room, but there's so many different things that could come up that that may be negotiable, you know. So that's where you have to pull back, not get defensive, because if you get defensive immediately, you will shut down the negotiations. You won't get from point A to point B, and the deal's off the table. Where if you would have been open about it and kind of looked at it and said, you know, I'll look at this, I'll look at that, whatever, you know. And some people want to sell their house and they're going to rent back because maybe they're not going to retire until the spring or summer, or they're going to wait till the kids get out of school and they would have to move twice, and somebody else is more than willing to let them do that. That has value, you know. So the list could go on and on and on and on and on with items that have value, you know, that could be part of this negotiation. So just kind of, I think it's kind of thinking out of the box and opening up your horizons. Don't think so like, all right, they only went off for this price. Tell them to go, you know, shut the door in their face. You know what I mean? Just tell them, forget. I've heard everything from sellers because I've been in the business so long. You know, when you have to, we legally have to present everything, right? Even if some of it's verbal, because lots of times everybody likes to work verbally, at, you know, in the beginning. Yeah. And you get all kinds of comments that, you know, oh, okay, you know. So that's just important because all these things, when we, you know, we think we know it all or we think we can't do this, I mean, or sometimes, you know, there's just all these items that could come into it. So that's negotiating. More than what we can get into one call, right? But it's kind of it's just keep an open mind and don't get, you know, even if you have to think, okay, wait a minute, how am I not going to get insulted if they offer me that? You know, it's definitely no problem to say, no, we're not desperate, we don't have to sell, you know, that's fine. But you don't want to scream at them, you know. So.
Wow, there's a lot involved in this. Boy, oh boy. Again, it's a...
Well, you know why? You know why? Because there's so many people, especially if you're going to do it as a for sale by owner. Now, I've been in so long that I've seen many agents and brokers that aren't trained that don't do a good job with that either, you know, and they kill the deal because they freak out and yell and do. I'm like, oh my gosh, aren't you supposed to be a professional? Like, how can you talk like this, right? So I'm, you know, so just because somebody's an agent or broker doesn't mean they're good either. You know what I mean at that, you know, so you want to check the people out, make sure that they're getting the trend, you know, that they know what they're doing. But yeah, there really is, because you'll see people could have so many people come through their home and have many showings and not get an offer. And some of those people maybe would have made an offer if things were handled a certain way. So that's the difference, you know.
Wow.
So I'm just, I guess the point I'm making, and it's coming out, you know, and everything we're talking about right now with these quick tips on these seven different tips on these different items, that you keep an open mind. Don't put yourself in a box, you know. Just because you love something in your house one way doesn't mean someone else will, know, and yeah. So.
Don't let ego get involved. Don't get emotional. Yeah, keep it businesslike. And I think that's tough when somebody's selling their own home where there's a lot of emotion tied up in it, which is another reason I keep saying this. And I know you didn't tell me to say this, but as we keep going through this, I keep hearing reasons why it's important that really to have a third party and ideally a realtor who knows and has been through this before and can kind of consult you and maybe calm you down when you need to be calmed down and those kind of things, yeah.
Yeah, they're not always realtors. Sometimes they're real estate agents that aren't part of NAR and stuff too, because depends on how long they've been in. I've been a member of NAR since 1985, but I wouldn't, and I know ads run where they say only use a realtor, but I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. I have to be honest, and I'm going to be as honest as they come. And, you know, it doesn't, there's different, you know, maybe small mom prop brokerages that just, you know, find that it's not necessary to belong to NAR. I like NAR.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But but one thing with the menu systems that's really awesome is you can actually bring someone in, say, just pay 1% with the price minimum and have them for, so it just depends. Could be for consulting and other issues.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's
negotiation.
And like I said, the list could go on and on and on, you know, what could be negotiated, right? It's not just price, which is, what did you think, Randy, your expertise in the radio, when we said negotiations and it's real estate, what were you first thinking? Would you think price or anything?
I immediately went to that awkward conversation with somebody about, you know, how much, right?
Right.
It just seems like, like you say, anything in that arena where it's verbal can get you, and I think for me, and I'm probably pretty typical, it's awkward to talk about money with people you don't know, and then if there's emotion tied up in the home, you know, it's difficult to be objective, and so when you said negotiation, yeah, I thought, I immediately, for me, it had a negative connotation, because I've just been in awkward situations regarding negotiating deals, we've always used a real estate agent, you know, in the transactions of our personal homes, because for that very reason, I just didn't feel adequate, you know, in negotiating, and I know there's just a lot of pitfalls, a lot of things that the typical person, even though they read on the internet every article and check out every blog they can, there's just pitfalls where somebody like you, who's seen and heard it all, can I ask you a question? I know we have two more tips, but I do have a question on the negotiation. And you were talking. What's the craziest thing that somebody offered and somebody accepted? Can you think of something that was, you just went, no way, that's not going to make the deal? I mean, you talked about a rug, oriental rug being one thing.
Gosh,
is anything unique that comes to mind?
Gosh, that's a good question, because, I mean, people sell planes. They'll sell little planes or helicopters. I mean, they're little, you know, they're little four-seaters. But I really have to give that a lot of thought, because I'm, when you say that to me, being in the business as long as I have, I'm automatically thinking, okay, with divorce situations. I mean, I remember in 1987 when the stock market crashed, a seller accepting an offer that I didn't think they'd accept, and it was because they were just so worried with the, you know, with the crash of 87, right? So, so when you ask me that question, I'm thinking motivation. There's divorces or short sales, you know, different things where people just accept way more, less than they would have. Many times there's something that somebody will, you know, they'll just want something, a certain piece of artwork or chandelier or something that, you know, the seller didn't want to part with. I always recommend, of course, I'm recommend in our trainings to the affiliates that those things are removed prior to marketing your house, because people will fall in love and you don't want to get rid of it and they're not going to budge, you know. So But
good counsel. Yeah.
You hear a lot of different things people throw in and get funny about, you know. They'll ask for anything.
Okay, so we've got five down, two to go. What's the next tip for selling your house?
Oh, are we on two? Okay. The other one is contracts. Contracts, that's an area that I would either definitely use a broker, an agent, or one of the real estate attorney. Many times it's really behooves you to go ahead and use one of the agents in our network or a broker or somebody you know that that is licensed with the board, and the reason that that's with the board of realtors in their area. And where that's a benefit is the boards have contracts that are written by very, very well-versed real estate attorneys for the board's use. So what that means is you're going to get any and all updated forms for your jurisdiction in your area. So that's important. I wouldn't skimp. I mean, if right now I'm in Maryland and I'm in between Maryland and Hawaii, if I said, hey, I want to buy a house in California, I wouldn't, you know, I know how to write contracts very well. I wouldn't just go write it myself and say, I already have a form, I'm just going to do this. I still would check with somebody local in that jurisdiction to make sure that we're covering everything, all the updates. Now, this liability falls more on sellers than buyers. Just like you have the lead paint laws that if a property was built before 1978, you have to give the lead paint disclosures. And you have to keep that disclosure for 3 years after you close and settle. Now, a lot of people may not know that, right? So you could actually put yourself in a liability situation as a seller if your property is built before 1978 and you didn't have that form signed. Nice. Now, I'm sure there may be people listening in saying, oh, come on, that's silly. Everybody knows that. But not necessarily. And they may not know that it has to be 3 years after. Many, many states have disclaimer laws. Some states won't even allow you to disclaim, and then you want to add an as-is addendum. Some states will, but you still have these certain laws. If you don't do it, you could come back and be sued later. Different counties, cities, areas have different ordinances. So, you know, so that the list could go on and on and on, and this is one area I would not skimp on a contract. You know, you can – a lot of the affiliates will prepare just a set of docs for $500. I can't speak for everybody's prices, you know, because it varies. That's done virtually. Attorneys are probably going to be $500, $1,000, depending on it. Now, just nothing against attorneys. I love attorneys. But I have seen situations where the attorneys may not have some updated information, and they may miss something. So that's why it does make sense to try to get somebody that's working with the local areas, you know, so that they can be up to date on all the jurisdictions. So in a contract, you want to remember from the beginning your strength when you're writing a contract or the buyer's writing it and you two are negotiating, that's when you have your power. So really make sure you're covering everything then, because if you go 2 weeks later, go, oh, I forgot to exclude that, you know, $20,000 chandelier, and I just forgot. I was in a rush. I was excited. They're giving us our asking price, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's going to be too late. That buyer may be nice and say, okay, but it's highly unlikely. So, you want to really dot your I's and cross your T's with the contract. You've got to be covered on financing and with the buyer. There's got to be you want to have the contract tight so that, you know, you're not tied up for 2 or 3 months and then all of a sudden find out the buyer didn't even qualify, you know, or we don't have the time. I mean, you and I could spend, we could actually spend a whole entire day doing a workshop on just these seven tips, you know, and we could even spend a couple days if we got, you know, went into a lot of things. So these are just quick tips. So I personally would not skimp on the contract. I wouldn't say, we already have one, we're doing it, you know, unless, you know, it's your a relative and somebody, I don't know, but I just wouldn't skimp there. So now, and then settlement and closing, you want to make sure whoever you're dealing with, when you take a deposit, don't take the deposit and put it in your bank account. It's much better if you're selling yourself.
Oh.
Huh?
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
But people do when they're selling on their own. So you definitely want to make sure it's with the title company, escrow company. You want to make sure they're bonded, very reputable company. And then make sure that, you know, it's the title company, escrow company, attorney that handles this real estate transactions, and they do them constantly, is going to handle the settlement or closing. Very important. In settlement, I would definitely have all your docs reviewed. I would definitely... if you're a buyer, but this is for sellers, buy owner's title insurance, even though many people think they don't need it, you should have it. You want to review everything. You want to make sure, again, that the closing company, escrow company, is reputable, handles everything well, make sure that all your payoffs are done properly, all the docs are in order. And you want to read it. There's a lot to read, but don't say, oh, you know, I don't feel like reading this. You want to definitely read this. Now, settlement is going to be, depending on what state you're in, some states, like for Hawaii, we sign 2 to 3 days ahead of time before you actually close and record. In Maryland, they sign and record the same day. So that's going to vary in different states. You want to coordinate everything, and there's just too much for us to go over, but because you're going to, if you're selling it yourself, you want to make sure that everything that's needed is there, the termite reports, the location surveys, any other docs that are needed, because it's nothing worse than to get to settlement closing and someone, okay, where's this? I forgot to order it. The whole thing can be held off, and you may not close that day. So there's a lot of little things to dot your I's and cross your T's, and again, we didn't have time to go through all that.
Wow.
But I hope these 7 tips gave people some food for thought.
My goodness. And it comes to mind as you're talking about settlement and closing, is I think about, okay, so as somebody who has maybe been trying to sell this house on my own, I went ahead and, you know, got help from you on the contract, maybe some suggestions and counseling on, you know, on marketing and or negotiation. So in terms of maybe the menu system, you know, I kind of picked and choosed here and there, you know, having you help, and then I did some things. And now I get to the closing and settlement part, and if I've had you already kind of overseeing the contract side of it, it's a matter then of really just submitting the paperwork to a title company. Is that correct?
Well, what happens? Then if you're working with one of our affiliates, they'll recommend, or you know, they'll refer you to some people and recommend people. But yeah, once all that's done, then the buyer may have somebody they want to use as well, and then it gets submitted to the title company, and then you basically open up escrow. And then the process starts going. The title company is going to do title reviews and make sure there aren't any other liens on the property other than ones that did you know, and they do the investigating. They just start putting everything in line to take you from – and they're going to work with the lender also, if there's a lender involved, to tie it all together.
Wow. So at that point, it seems to me that the two real crucial areas, if you're going to do it on your own, is obviously the contract side, where they would want a real estate agent who's – knows what they're doing, and then also, I guess at that point, really, that's if there was any place you say that they should, you know, get help, that would be it. Otherwise, once you've got it, because at that point, once it's to the title company, if you've had somebody helping you, and there's no surprises that you didn't know about.
Right, then you're going to be good. But once it's to the title company, though, if there's a loan, there's still going to be an appraisal on the property, and somebody still has to be following every week with the mortgage company to make sure everything's going through, because you don't want them, you know. So there's a lot more than we couldn't cover it all today.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more involved that you have to, you know, somebody's got to be dotting the I's and crossing the T's and everything. And we actually have workshops on this that people can jump in and sign up and via teleseminars, or they could actually do some in person. Most of them are teleseminars. And then we are going to be doing, we're actually going to have downloadable videos and audios that we're going to create to make it easy for someone if they want to go through the process and see what to do and what not to do.
You have got a lot of stuff on your website, a lot of helpful information. I know I've spent time there just looking, and whether you're a buyer, seller, novice, or, you know, real estate expert, there's just such a wide range, which is really keeping in track or in in line with what your philosophy is, which is the whole real estate menu idea is, hey, here it is. Here's what we can help you with, either minimally or, you know, full service. And again, all of that at realtyuniversal.com.
You know, I do want to mention one thing just because of, you know, you go through things. I think that, you know, the soreness I'm feeling with my brother right now passing,
yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I don't want to say, it's just hard. It's gut-wrenching, and thank God I have faith, is a surrounding, there is a lot of things that have happened that are not right. And so that have nothing to do with my family, but have to do with some other situations that
sure.
he was dealing with. And the lack of integrity just blows me away, because that's really important to me and important in life. And just right now, returning back to what we're talking about, when you're a seller, don't make sure you're as honest as you can be. You know, I mean, when I say keep your cards close to you, that means, you know, you don't have to tell them, okay, we'll take this price or we'll take that. You know, you're like playing cards. You're not giving them your hand, right?
Right.
That doesn't mean lie about a leak or damage or something that happened. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean not be honest about something you're aware of with your house that you think, oh, they're never going to know. Don't do that. Just be honest. I mean, you're not going to kill the sale with honesty if it's handled the right way. That doesn't mean there may be items that you're going to go over with somebody when it's at the, you know, they're going to buy contract time. You know, somebody serious, they qualify, and you're going to be, they're going to do a home inspection, and then you're going to go over and disclosures. You're going to go over those items. It doesn't mean every single person in every single showing you go, wait a minute, by the way, wait a minute, this wall was put up here, and when we ripped this wall down 3 years ago, we saw da 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 da, but it's been fixed. No, it doesn't mean you tell every single person every single thing that's going on with your house until you get to, you know, the person that is buying your house, right? But I'm just stressing that, because it's the right thing to do, it's the fair thing to do, and it'll also keep you out of trouble down the road, you know? So I know I brought that up and just thinking with the other stuff, but it's just like, I just wish the whole world was a lot more that way, you know? It would save a lot of lawsuits, a lot of trouble, a lot of time. So I think we went over tips way longer than we planned, Randy. We're supposed to do the other part of the show, and we're almost finished.
Well, you know, that's okay. I mean, obviously each show is going to be a little different, and even with the amount of time we spent on the tips, as you said, you were just scratching the surface, and literally we could do one or two shows, three shows on just one of the tips, and we might end up, you know, coming back, circling back and camping on some of those, because I'm sure as people have listened, they're, you know, questions have come up, and they would actually like to drill down and dig down, and they can actually do that again at realtyuniversal.com. You mentioned the honesty thing, and as you said, you know, in the industry in real estate since 1985, and you know the success that you've had in Hawaii and in Maryland, and I really believe that it's in due large part to your, like you say, your commitment to integrity.
Right.
As I have read over referrals and references, people who've dealt with you.
Well, you've known me for a long time, thank goodness. So.
That too.
Yeah.
You and I have been involved in some things, I know that integrity thing is a big deal. And then you have just had it kind of reinforced with what's gone on with your brother and some of the things.
Oh, it's gut wrenching. I mean, it's gut wrenching, and I just don't know how people can be that way if they realize there's more to this world than what there is. You know, it's God and the universe, and I just don't get it. And I don't want to sound naive. I can hear somebody probably out there saying, "What an idiot!" You know, oh my gosh, she's so naive. Come on, this is just the way it is. You know, I'm 50 years old now, and I'm never going to believe that that's just the way it is. And I have a problem with, you know, the politics and the thing. Constantly you hear, well, they're politicians. Of course they're going to lie. Just accept it. Just get used to it. And I'm like, no, that's not right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's real easy, and that's just stuff. Oh, yeah, the stuff I'm going through right now, my brother doesn't deserve, and God forbid he didn't deserve to go in a tragic way either, which doesn't look right now. But it is the honesty in every single thing we do. We've got a choice to make, you know. That doesn't mean That doesn't mean, you know how some people ask you questions in life and it's none of their business and they're only asking you because they're not your friend? You know that kind of stuff?
Mm.
You know, people are being nosy, but they're definitely not your friend. That doesn't mean you have to say, and answer every question. I don't mean that. I don't mean for someone to just be totally, you know, open and hurt themselves because somebody may not have their best interests at heart. I just mean, you know, when you're dealing with people and you're in transactions and you're in deals, tell the truth. It's going to say, you know, the truth always works. And we need to all start taking stands with this stuff, with what's going on with the politics, and everybody's saying, well, everyone else does it. So, sorry, I'm a little bit blunt with that today.
No.
I think, because I didn't think I was going to make it through the show, Randy. I was crying my eyes out only like 2 hours ago. So,
Impressive.
It's happening. People die everywhere. It's just, it's hard when it happens to you, and it's somebody that's so close, you know. So, anyhow, that wraps up that part of it. I just wanted to mention, because I think that, you know, it's people, what do I do? Tell the truth. I mean, that's what you do. You know, it's just worth it. It's not worth the agony and later, you know, to what, when you're selling your house. I feel a lot of people want to omit things or leave things off, and that's just not the thing to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your bravery, and our prayers and hearts are with you and your family as you go through this. And I'm blown away and impressed that you were able to get through this program. And what you did today, honestly, when we start talking about giving back and the universe and God and all of that, I know that this past hour has been a labor of love for you, because you believe so much in what you do for other people. And these tips, you know, again, in your expertise, have no doubt helped people today, and we'll continue to do that, and even your story. And as time goes on, I know we'll be able to kind of unpack more of sort of what you're going through right now. It's still very, very recent and very, very painful, but I want to thank you again for taking the time to do this and help people today,
and thank you for being so supportive, Rob. You know, thank you, Randy, for being so supportive, because you're a pro at what you do, and you love people too, and it just comes right out. So,
all right.
Thank you.
That is it for today. Let me see if our theme song is working here. There it is.
Can I say at the end, I wish you peace?
You can and did.
Thank you.
Wow. You there? You there?